7 today. What is God's end goal for us? Why did he create us? Our Father is interested in one thing, and that is a relationship.
Yes.
He created us with a free will to choose him or not choose him.
Yep.
The angels have to do what God says, but we have the right to say, God, I'm not interested in you, or God, I want to fall head over heels in love with you. So he created us with a free will. Okay, and this chapter, it starts out pretty heavy. It talks about judging. But that's not the purpose. It's not supposed to be heavy. It's supposed to be educational. It's supposed to point you towards God. I'll start off, I'll read the first verse. It says, judge not, that ye be not judged. For with that judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with the measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you. Well, that means, you know, how much punishment you dole out, that's how much punishment you're going to get back. But like any parent or person in authority, your desire is to pass on your knowledge. And so God is passing on his knowledge to us, and he's saying, watch out, because, you know, when we start thinking about judging people, we're not in our right mind. We're not looking through God's eyes. We're not seeing that person through God's eyes. And so he's just giving us wisdom here. Just, you know, hold on. Young people and less informed people, we just get in that burden of trying to figure out what's right in this world and what's, you know, what we should do. And sometimes instead of looking at ourselves, we look at others and we go, oh, man, that guy is doing wrong, or that guy, you know, and so we start to judge them. But really, we should be, you know, looking at ourselves. There's a very prominent TV personality that once said that God was jealous of her, and she totally misunderstood what was being said, is that God is a jealous God, and he wasn't jealous of her at all. He's jealous of what we put our trust in and what we do, and so she went off the deep end and started her own religion, and it's crazy. But you know, it's, we got to learn to trust in God. So I'm going to continue reading verses, starting with verse 3 through 6. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam in thine own eye? A mote is a little twig. And that's actually a pretty funny thing that Jesus said there. And how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out this little twig out of your eye, and behold, there's a beam in your own eye. You know, you're probably almost hitting him over the head with your beam. Thou hypocrite, first cast out that beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. When you create something, you know, God created us. And when you create something, you love it. Even if it's not perfect, and I'm not perfect, but God created me, and he loves me, you go and you show your friends, see, this thing I made out of wood or out of stone or out of clay or whatever, and you got a lot of pride. You're like, this is amazing. You know, I did this with my own hands. And your friends might think, that's not really all that awesome, but you love it. And that's God. God created us, and the angels may go, God, those people have some problems. But God loves us totally, even with our, you know, just our imperfections and our mistakes that we do. But he gets a joy out of that. So God is the same way with us, and he created each and every one of us, and we're all unique. And that's fun to me, because people might say, oh, I have this problem or this disability, or, you know, my eyes aren't good. Which, by the way, now that I've turned 42, I've noticed that I can't read as well, so praise God. But God created each and every one of us unique, and that's awesome. So he took time to, you know, with the hair color and your eye and your, you know, the people he surrounded you with, so that you end up with the personality that you have and the wisdom that you know, every person has a purpose. You know, this guy learns this and this lady learns this, and we can all come together and do amazing things. But he has given us his word to show us his love and his desire to help us as we traverse through this world. He created just for us. But the awesome thing is this world is not even our final home. This is just kind of a taste of, you know, of what heaven's going to be like. Just a taste. So if this is just a taste of what heaven's going to be like, I can't even imagine what's heaven like. I remember when I was younger, I used to think, eternity, boy, that's going to be really boring. I mean, forever. You know, what do you do forever? So, but God, I mean, that's why, you know, God hasn't told us everything. You know, I think when we get to heaven, we're going to discover things and we're going to learn things, and it's just going to be, we can't even imagine. So, I mean, this world, you know, you think, I don't have enough time to learn the violin or learn about particle physics or whatever. You know, I mean, we have this finite, you know, but we're going to have eternity to learn everything that God has, you know, ever invented. He wants our sojourn here to be rewarding, enlightening, and joyful, and without any heavy burdens. Remember, he said, my burden is easy and light. He wants us, because our burden, and the crazy thing is we put that burden on ourselves, and we just keep adding stuff to it, and we keep dragging ourselves down. And God's like, whoa, 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 here, take mine, I'll take yours. Because it isn't anything to God. It's nothing to God. What is judging? Usually we go right for sin. Okay, oh, that person sinned. Or, you know, what that person is doing is wrong. And that's a right answer. You know, you can judge a person for sinning. But, and you should judge sin. Sin is wrong. But that's not our place. We're not God. God said, I'm going to judge sin. So, but it's so much more. You know, we can judge a person's behavior, the way they dress, the fact that they're late, or even habitually late. The fact that, you know, we judge their actions, we judge the company they keep, the food they eat. But one reason we should not judge is we don't know their heart. We don't know what they're going through. We don't know what they've been through. We don't know, you know, only God knows a person's heart. So when the Bible says, judge not, that you should be judged, you know, it's odd when you do, when you point out a person in your mind, hopefully you don't out loud point it out, person's sin. When you point it out, you realize that a lot of times you have that same sin. It may not be that exact sin, but it's pretty close. Yeah, so I see, something that God showed me, because he brought this chapter to me probably a couple of months ago, and I thought it was an odd one, because it's not the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, it's the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And I thought, why did you show that to me? And then God said, you know, instead of judging that person, ask God what you can pray about for that person. And a lot of times God will say, don't worry about it, I'm already working on that. Or he'll say, this is another problem that they have, and this may be the result of this problem that they have, so pray for this, and that won't even be an issue anymore. So, you know, and it's good for me, because now when I see a person, immediately, instead of judging them, I'll ask God, what can I pray for that person for? You know, do you want me to pray about this situation that I see, or do you want me to pray about something else? And God will give you that wisdom. More than likely, you don't even have to. One thing some people like to do as Christians is, oh, I see your sin, and now I'm going to tell you. But more than likely, that person already knows what their sin is. You don't have to tell them. God may quicken your heart and say, you may mention this to your brother or sister or whatever, but a lot of times they already know what their problem is. So just keeping them praying. I'm going to go to verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest ye trample under their feet and turn them to rend you. That seems like a kind of a different thought. You know, God's talking about judging, or Jesus is talking about judging, and then all of a sudden he's talking about don't cast your pearls before swine. But it's not a different thought at all. Not that we're judging that. We're not judging people. That doesn't mean we overlook sin. So, sorry, let me rephrase that. In the world today, the Christians seem to say, oh, you got to love people no matter what. And that's good. Yes, you should love people no matter what. But you don't condone their sin. Don't, you know, you don't say, I love you and I'm going to let you stay in what you're in. You lovingly, you know, try to bring them out of what they're in. You got to give, you know, let God speak to you on how you talk to this person. But we need to surround ourselves in the Word and with holy fellowship. God has given you a precious gift, and we should share it, because the Bible says to be salt and light and that our cup runneth over. Though sometimes we can feel like it's empty, because I know I do. I'll think, man, Lord, I am just empty and I don't have anything to give anybody right now. But that's not true, because Jesus is what fills us up, and he never runs out. And so when you're feeling that way, it's because you're looking at something wrong. And so you just say, hey, God, give me the energy, or give me the joy, or give me the, you know, the wisdom or the mercy or whatever you need. Ask God when to share. The Holy Spirit nudges you. And that's true. I know. And there I can think of three or four times in my life when I knew that God told me to say something and I didn't. And you're not supposed to regret, but I regretted never saying that. And, you know, and some of those people aren't with us anymore, and I never got to say that. So when the Holy Spirit nudges you, the worst thing that can happen is the person rejects it. But you did what God said, and you have no idea what kind of seed you planted in their life, and that they may remember that later and then ask somebody else, can you expound on it? They may even come back to you. You said that to me one day, and I was in a place, and I didn't receive it, but now I see what you're saying. So when the Holy Spirit nudges you, go ahead and, you know, say it. There's the parable of the sower. You know, there's the soft ground, and there's a hard ground. So when you cast that stone, some of it is may go nowhere, but there a lot of it will plant. I know it's hard because, you know, it says don't cast your pearls before swine, but I want everybody to know God, but I know that there are people out there that don't want it. I mean, the Bible tells us they're just not going to want it. And it's hard because you see them and you feel you're either judging them or you're feeling bad for them, one of the two. So, but you want them to know God. So, but it says in Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time and a place for everything. You know, that person's time may come later. And so some people take it as, like, I know you see this guy on the street corner and he's yelling out scriptures, and I usually judge that guy. I think, you're just making people not want to know Jesus. But I have no idea. Maybe that God's using that guy to reach somebody that needs that kind of testimony. All right, I'm going to read verse 7 through 11. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if a son ask for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, because we are, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? It's interesting. A while back, I was going through something where I believed God can give me things, or, you know, can answer my prayers, but I didn't know if I believed that he would. Because, like, you're God, you can do anything. But the Bible tells us to ask. What does it hurt to ask? Keep asking. And you know, there's a scripture that says, you know, just keep knocking and keep knocking and keep knocking until God answers. Sometimes God will say, I have something better for you. Or sometimes God just wants that relationship with you. He just wants to spend time with you. And he's like, you know, just come in and spend some time, and that'll all work itself out. So why do we expect God not to bless us? James 1:5 says, if you ask for wisdom, he will give it to you, and he won't even reproach you for asking him. So, and that's awesome, because, you know, I know as humans will say, oh, I already told you that, or, you know, you should know that already. But God doesn't even care. He's like, ask. I'll tell you again. I know you already know it. I told you I loved you, but go ahead and ask. I'll tell you I love you again. I'll tell you a million times that I love you. Well, you know, and I'm not going to reproach you for that. So God wants to take your heavy burden and give you his light burden, because God isn't even burdened. He wants your cup to be full and overflowing. We should expect this because God told us to ask. He said, I want to bless you. So just ask me, and it's yours. So I'm going to read verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. When I knew that God was in me, when I could bless people without even thinking about it, didn't think about what burden it was going to be to me, or what I was going to lose, or what I was going to get. And I knew, and it was like, because it says, you know, it's by your fruit, and you're like, and you know it's not you. That wasn't me. I'm selfish. I can be selfish again. I was selfish in the past. I know I could be selfish, but God is in me, and I'm trying to lay down my life and say, God, you be in me, and don't let me be me, because I'm not a good me. You be me. So Jesus said, the law is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and your neighbor as yourself. If we are full because Jesus is our portion, then it is never a burden to love your neighbor as yourself. If you can love yourself, that is God in you loving yourself. Many people love the idea of themselves, but they don't really love themselves. If you stop and look at yourself, you see things you don't like. But if you look at yourself through Christ and listen to what he says about you, it's awesome. He says things like, you are righteous because I am righteous. You are holy because I am holy. You are bold because I am bold. You are compassionate because I am compassionate. It's now easy to fulfill that greatest commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself, and because you see yourself in the way your Creator sees you, and not the way you see yourself anymore. So in the morning, every morning, say that, you know, I am righteous because you are righteous in me. You know, I am bold. I am, you know, whatever you're feeling is your inadequacy, God is saying that's not an inadequacy because I'm living through you. I'm going to read 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there are that go in thereat. Because the straight gate is narrow, and the narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I don't know why this is funny to me, but when I wrote this down, it says going through the narrow gate is easy, because right here it says it's not. It says it's hard. Because there's only one choice, and that's to die to yourself and follow God. Yeah. There's just one choice. I mean, that's when you go the wide way, there's many choices. So I'm going to say, are you willing to die to yourself? It boils down to faith. Do you trust God's word? Sola fide, you know, faith alone. Sola scriptura and sola gratia. God's grace is sufficient to cover all your sins. There's no work. You just stand still and be covered in the blood. So that's the narrow way. You didn't do anything. It's actually the easiest way. It's totally easy. You just have to die to yourself and let God do everything through you. The wide gate is full of all sorts of choices. You be good. You be bad. You subdue your fellow man. You pray seven times a day. You make a journey. Money, power, modesty, humility. It's all vanity. It doesn't lead to anything. It's all just you, yourself, trying to do it. You know, when you get to the end and you get to see God, he's going to say, that wasn't, I gave you one way, and it was Jesus. And all you had to do was take it this free gift, but you were trying to make it on your own. So, 16 through 20. Oh, sorry. 15, sorry. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they are ravening wolves. Now, I'm going to remind you guys that the first of this chapter, it said, judge not. And I'm thinking you guys may have thought of somebody when I said false prophets. remember that this chapter says not to judge. And it's good because it's true when you say that, you know, about false prophets, you do. Somebody pops into your head and you think, that guy's a false prophet. But we don't know that guy's heart. We don't know what God has for him. We don't know why God, I mean, because God created that guy. He's on this earth. So just, you know, ask God for wisdom on that. So 16 through 20. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but corrupt trees bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits shall they be known. So God just removed that entire burden of trying to figure out whether that guy is a false prophet or not, because it says that he's going to be judged by his fruit. And here on earth, it'll be obvious because we'll see the fruit of that. We'll see, you know, where his ministry goes or doesn't go. But it also, you know, God will ultimately judge him on the great white throne of judgment. But only God knows the heart. So, are you a good tree? Are you still hanging on to your own roots? Or have you been grafted into the true vine? You know when God has a hold on you because without a thought, you love your neighbor. It's true. I always love that picture of the vine, because throughout the Bible, you see it being grafted in. You see, you know, there was Adam, and then there was Jesus, and then, but through Jesus' lineage, there were so many people that didn't belong in there, but they got grafted in. You know, it was Rahab. She didn't belong in there, but she's in the lineage of Jesus, and she got grafted in. You know, I mean, it's always the second guy. You know, it wasn't Esau, it was Jacob. You know, and God loves to take the one that's not being expected, and he exalts him. So it's awesome. We're going to read Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of the Father, which is in heaven. Many say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wondrous works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I always thought, man, that's harsh. I mean, these guys spent their entire life serving God, but they didn't know him. They didn't have a relationship with him. It would be like somebody, like, just say a celebrity or a sports figure, and somebody comes to their house and they go, I know all your stats, or I know all about you. I know everything. I know your birthday and everything. And he's not going to let you into his house. Or, I mean, that would just be really odd. You know, you may know everything about that person, but you don't have a relationship with that person. So if you don't have a relationship with God, it would just be odd for him to let you into his house. Because that is everything. It all boils down to that. It all boils down to God just loving on each other, because he just wants to spend time with you. And it doesn't mean sitting down every day and reading the Bible for 3 hours. It means talking to God and in everything in your life, all the situations in your life, say, God, you know, give me wisdom on this, or, you know, what do you want me to do here, or how do you want me to pray for this person, or... reading the scripture is fabulous. It's our look into God, and it's God's telling us, you know, what his desires are. But it's just to get you to have a relationship with him and to understand who he is and to, you know, be able to connect with him so that when he does talk, that you know for a fact it's God. So I'm going to go ahead and finish out the chapter. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man, which built his house upon the rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon the house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon that rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and does them not, shall be like a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And that's awesome, because when God left, he gave us his Holy Spirit, and he wants us to teach with authority. He doesn't want us to teach with knowledge. He wants to, when you spend a lot of time with someone and you know that person, you can say without a shadow of doubt, well, this is what they would do, or this is what, you know, this is how what they like, or this is. And if we're the same way with God, when we spend time with God, we can speak with authority. I know that God loves you. I know God wants to bless you. I know you're the righteousness of Christ. And these are things you can just say it. You don't have to say, well, the Bible says. You can just, because you're spending time with God, and God is in you, and it's so powerful. All right. It took so much longer at home. So it's my relationship with God is, I have so much peace, and I just trust him. I mean, there are times when I don't. Sometimes I forget to trust him, but I just trust him. And I always want to impart that to everybody, that just, you can just relax and let God take your burden. You don't have to worry about the world. You don't have to, you know, what's the world doing? You know, that's, you know, God tells you to be salt and light, and that'll take care of it. You know, they'll see you, and they'll want what you have. So I just encourage you all to spend time with God daily. You know, I'm very busy, so I don't always have time to read the Word, but I can spend time with God all day long. I don't have to have the Bible in front of me while I'm digging or building or tiling or whatever. I can just be singing praises and just be spending time with God, and he'll share stuff with me. It's fun. So, you guys are a blessing. Love you guys.